The following podcast has been given a universal rating. Yippee.
Job Interview 2008, number 1173, Gigi Udraco.
I see by your job application, you've scored 6 million on the video game Munchman.
That was a typo, sorry.
And I see you shot down 2 billion aliens from the planet Mongo.
Yeah, I really shouldn't put that in my CV.
You are good at computer games. So what do you know about computers?
If you're going to spend your time playing video games, why not play them in something that can also teach you about computing? Get a Commodore VIC-20. It's tough to grow up in a computer age without learning about computers.
Podcast.
Hi peeps, welcome to the third series of podcast. I've graduated, I've become unemployed for over a year, and then I went back into academia. Hip hip hooray. And it's amazing that I've actually found the time to do this third series. This is the Sega series. I'm planning to do the VIC-20, and then... let me explain why the VIC-20 is chosen. Because there's a couple of games that Sega produced for the Commodore machine. Simple as that. And then you've got the Master System, the Game Gear, and the Mega Drive. Simple enough. And they're all wonderful chips in themselves. But for now, let's concentrate on the VIC-20. This was based on the MOS technology VIC, which happened to do the sound, the input-output, the visuals. I think it did everything except for do the arithmetic. It had its own CPU for that. So you had, what was it, 3 square waves available at your disposal. Well, 3 channels of square waves. And 1 of noise. Yeah, marvellous. Means that you could do nice little drum effects. So, without further ado, well, I'll just take you on to the next little demonstration of the VIC-20's musical capabilities. It's actually a cover of one of the pieces of music from The Last Ninja 2 from the Commodore 64. Enjoy. That was pretty nice. It was a very good attempt. I haven't actually got a lot of music to go with or to show you. I'm sorry about this, but you've got to remember, with 3.5K of memory, you're not going to put the emphasis on music, are you? No, you're going to want to do the wonderful little whizzy things on the television rather than playing with this sound. It was easier later on to actually play with sound, as you could get a memory expansion kit. So you could expand it all the way to about, I think it's 32 kilobytes, which was very big in those days, in 1980, when the VIC-20 was introduced as the VIC-1001 in Japan, and then a year later as the actual VIC-20, or the VC-20 if you live in Germany, due to a problem with swearing. Volkscomputer Zwanzig. Okay. So, most of the music we have here comes from after the VIC-20's high and mighty period, so it comes from demos. But I will try and play some music from games. Don't worry about that. For now, I'll show you the TLR's Datapop. And this is a demonstration where... Well, this is a demo where if you hold the spacebar, you get to see all the machine code gore spilling through the screen. So, one for you techies out there. Going to show you format and orbs orb tracks. You have 10 available, all managed by whatever number you press on the keyboard. And they're all miniature, simplistic affairs, but they're still good anyway. Most of them are, anyway. In 1980, you've got to remember, computers were very expensive affairs and very heavy affairs and very inaccessible beings as well. So Jack Tramiel of Commodore said, right, I want something simple. I want people to be computer literate. And so he went to his friends, well, his workers, Chuck Peddle, Joe Minor, et al. Make me chips. Make me a computer that people could do. And it's got to be under... It's got to be a three-figure price anyway. So they did, and they produced the simplistic machine, which you could plug into the television. And this started people off not only with the concept of, oh, a computer, but it's programming with a computer as well. So it's an educational tool. This is unlike Atari's VCS 2 years earlier, which was only made for games. Okay, Atari made a version of their of the basic programming language for the VCS, but when you can only do as many programs as you can count on a hand, so about less than five programs you can actually do on it, I don't think you consider that a home computer. No. Atari tried it and they got severely punished for that. Okay. Time for an ad break, I think. Well, after this music.
The Commodore VIC-20. Welcome to the age of the computer. As you grow with VIC, VIC grows with you.
The VIC-20, only $359, includes bonus pack and data cassette. Games Unlimited, 378 Portage Avenue, your official Commodore computer dealer.
Commodore VIC-20, the one to grow on.
Just because it was cheap doesn't mean that the VIC-20 was any less capable. No. You could shove a modem in it, a disk drive, memory expansion, as I said. Although you still had the issue of only having 22 columns of text, well, 22 letters per line. This was a major disadvantage, but it still didn't dissuade people from actually buying and using the VIC-20. William Shatner?
Why buy just a video game from Atari for any television? Invest in the wonder computer of the 1980s for under $300. The Commodore VIC-20. Unlike games, it has a real computer keyboard. With the Commodore VIC-20, the whole family can learn computing at home. Plays great games, too. Under $300, the wonder computer of the 1980s, the Commodore VIC-20.
Coming soon, Commodore brings you Gorf, the wonder arcade game, and Omega Race in home versions.
Here are the controls of an Atari video computer system.
Joypad.
Here are the controls of the Commodore VIC-20 home computer.
Keyboard.
Now, which one do you think really deserves to be called a computer? If you say the VIC-20, well, here's a little additional piece of information. The VIC-20 also plays games like you've never seen before. Mere child's play for a true computer. The Commodore VIC-20, a real computer for the price of a toy.
A toy? That's pretty demeaning.
There are two kinds of teenagers today.
Me.
One strives to rack up 30 million points on video
me.
Games. The other finds it challenging to invent his own game.
Not me.
One depends on somebody else's imagination.
Me.
The other on his own.
Not
one owns a video game machine.
Yeah.
The other has a Commodore VIC-20 home computer. But they do have one thing in common. Someday, both will be trying to get into college.
And I'm in twice! Don't worry, I have done computer programming. Simplistic stuff. Bram. that's all the music from the actual games that I can find and think of. Oh, there is a homebrew game called Tribbles. So, it's back to the demos, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. But just to show that I'm not just doing a cut-and-paste job here, PWP have made a series of free demos, each separate, but they're all linked together by the concepts of robots and bad things. And well, I've tried to combine all three together. I hope this works, and it comes up as a very good trilogy. Please listen. Please love. Bye. Oh, before I forget, of course, with 25 years, you start to learn all the intricacies of the hardware. So you can attempt digitized speech. PWP has actually achieved digitized speech in his demos as time went on. So you've got the earlier demo, and it's pretty grindy, and you can barely hear it. But then later on, you'll actually find out that the speech is more pronounced as more research was done on the topic, and then you'll be able to sing it. We'll be right back. And sadly, that pretty much wraps it up for the whole history of the VIC-20. It was used extensively, and it was popular for its 5-year life. However, Commodore had bigger plans. This was just a stopgap. In 1982, they designed the Commodore 64, with 64K inbuilt memory, and price tag under $600. And it came across as a complete hit. It was like Sinclair releasing the ZX80 and the ZX81 as a stopgap to release the ZX Spectrum very soon after. There's nothing more to say. There is still a following, as of now, with demos, games, and some visual treats, as the intricacies of the VIC chip are still manipulated. It's marvellous. One extra unofficial use has been claimed, though. It's been the VIC-20 with 3 channels. It's a simple synthesizer, would you believe? So Daniel Carlin and Andreas Ersson designed a tracker in the style of a mod tracker called the VIC Tracker, and they've hooked it up to a modern synth and produced this track called Machine. And with that, I'll leave you be. And that is the end of this poddy. Remember, email is podcast, podcast@podomatic.com. You can subscribe to the RSS feed. Why do you need to ask permission? And requests are always welcome. The next one is the Master System. Yippee! Getting onto the game consoles again. Okay. Ta very much. Bye-bye. Thank you. Right, let's go home. Just need to cross over the road now. Here we go. Right. Oh. I wonder if they play that at pedestrian accident funerals. Actually, no, that's not funny. Delete that bit.